Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. 2 hours down, 2 hours ago. Feeling good now. Got some coffee, got some water. Baby Jazz's 4th birthday. Shout out to her. She's in my bed sleep right now. Love you, baby girl. Love all the roasters, too. And I see all the shout-outs. If you got more shout-outs, go ahead. Send them to the text line. Comcast Business Text Line, 888-957-9570. Shout-out to those watching on YouTube. I'm telling you, sometimes I do miss that chat. On a day like today, boy, that chat would be humming. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. And do not forget. Do not forget, December 20th, you better take it off. I'm telling you, take it off. It's going to be one hell of a morning down at Laughing Monk Brewery. The Morning Roast is holding the 3rd annual Doobie Awards. And the roasters are invited, and we're feeding you. We're feeding you free food. Free food. And it is a great, great, great cuisine coming up for you at the Laughing Monk Brewery in Sunnyvale from the Morning Roast Doobie Awards, where we award the best moments from the show, and we honor you, the roasters. We start at 6, but you will want to get there early to get a good seat. Food and beverages will be provided for all the attendees. Go to our website, 957thegame, right now, 957thegame.com, to RSVP to this event. This is the radio show of the year. This is the one and only Doobie Awards, the 3rd annual Doobie Awards. We've come a long way with it. Roaster of the year, guest moment of the year. Marcus of Richmond, he needs to make an appearance. Hell, somebody fly out Brianna and say, well, we don't have money out here. But fly out Brianna in Detroit. But Tony in Oakland.
I know people.
Uncle Jean, she does know people. She'll get her ass out there to Laughing Monk Brewery. All right? Marcus of Richmond, where you at? You want your guest moment of the year? You want a repeat? Duke and San Bruno, Duke and Lakeview. I want you all out there to Doobie Awards, the Laughing Monk Brewery in Sunnyvale.
I was a little in shock.
December 20th. It is going down. You'll want to be there. Trust me.
I was late getting back into the studio because I was actually pitching this to Vin. Why are you Xing me? He was talking my ear off. Vin's like, you guys are going to do a big party? I'm like, yeah. Sarah and Vinny. And he was asking all about it. And he's like, we're going to have to show up for you guys. Maybe we'll take the day off and come hang out.
You should.
That's what I told him.
It's on a Friday.
Yeah. And he also asked me what's going on with Pods.
No, he didn't.
I swear.
Well, you know, he's a casual.
Well, as he said, you know, he's like, why is the coach blasting him?
Was he in or out on the golden at bat?
I love how sanctimonious people become over the golden at bat.
Sam just got really mad at me for saying that because he thinks you guys are going to blow into another 20-minute conversation about it.
I'm not bringing it up.
Do we have a golden caller where, like, that person calls and they have to go right to the front of the line?
Now, this is the Tykes.
I'm not a GM, even though I'd love to be one.
Please. This is the text that gets me
please
going.
Please save that soundbite of, please.
This is the text.
Dismissal of the year right there.
This is the text that makes me smile. This matters to me.
Happy birthday, baby Chestnut, her fourth birthday.
Bonte, your new barber got it on lock. Nice. Well, he's been my same barber for about 3 years. So,
well, let me see. You got a hat head today?
I had a haircut last Friday.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's flowing. The locks are flowing. Yeah. Anyway.
Hey, your hair has looked really good.
Well, I try. Got to condition it, shampoo it, you know. A little coconut oil.
Do you go shampoo first or conditioner first?
Oh, shampoo first.
Yeah, me too.
You got to scrub.
You always got to go shampoo.
Yeah, no, that's why I'm just making sure. Why? Because the way he said it, was conditioner, shampoo.
I've been washing my hair for like 35 years.
You know?
Oscar DPA wants to know, any dancers showing up? Well, you know what? I'm going to work on that.
Yeah, I actually, I am slippery. We can get Irish dancers, but we're not getting like ladies
of the night. No. You can go get the Irish dancers. I'm gonna go hit up Sabrina from the Warriors, see if we get the Warriors dance team cheerleaders to come down there.
So they're gonna do a full 10-hour shift and then show up and do another 6-hour shift.
49 Gore Rush out there.
Oh, the dance cheerleaders. Off going here.
Or Cheetahs is down there in Sunnyvale, right?
It ain't nothing you can do about it.
That'd be an epic dance off.
Why couldn't we get dancers? What? I want this to be the biggest party ever.
Invite Stunna Man. Maybe he can do the big steppin'.
Oh, we
dance.
Get Stunna Man. We get Gunna's Goals Global.
Yeah.
We Dregs get Pilo. I mean, we go all over the place. What is going on here?
Can Fitz come out there too?
He does. You know what, Fitz? It's about 30-minute drive.
I live with these people. I love these people. They're part of my family.
The Human Torch is here.
You know, Fitz, the way when Moody hit that three, he was so jacked up.
I was
Moody.
Oh, he'll be in Memphis, right? That is the day before or after. So they'll probably be on the road trip.
I was pointing at Steiny. He had a sandwich in his hand. It looked delicious.
8 in the morning? A sandwich?
Yeah.
A breakfast sandwich?
Yeah, it looked delicious.
He's showing his age these days.
Whoa! I actually think he looks great for his age.
No, I'm not saying his looks. I'm talking about the way he speaks. And he gets cranky very easily.
Oh, you know nothing about getting cranky very easily.
I mean, Steiny. Well, I got an excuse. I got 4 hours of sleep.
That's true.
After that loss.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm a little ticked off.
Did you come home and
you're more like me than you think you are. Yeah, when I got home, I parked. And I sat in the car for another 15 minutes, and I actually went to the gas station next door and bought me a bag of Ruffles because I was depressed over the loss for a second. I ate me a bag of Ruffles. I was listening to Grandy Man on the postgame show, and I heard a couple callers, and they pissed me off even more. I threw the empty bag into the dashboard. I said, "The hell with this. I'm going to go in the house and try to get some sleep."
Like, that's one of the things I did right after the Niners got destroyed by Buffalo. I knew I was angry because I went right to the organic Strauss mint chocolate chip ice cream tub.
That was very specific.
Yeah, that was very
It's such a good brand.
This is very straight text because I want to play this Draymond cut. We haven't even talked about Draymond Green. Gosh, I'm worried. I'm the worrier now. But Bonte, would you get hair plugs in Turkey if a company paid you marketing?
Whoa.
I don't know.
The whole hair plug thing just I squeam. I'm good off of it, I think.
We know Zucci Man would be in the building for the doobies. We know that. Are they selling beers at 6 a.m.? Probably. Let me get drunk at 6 a.m. So be it. Make sure you get an Uber. Maybe we'll get Uber to sponsor for some transportation.
Maybe Waymo.
Shout out to Waymo. They work.
It's the way to go.
It is the way to go.
Waymo.
Draymond Green. He mentioned this on the Draymond Green show. And Spinoni, do you have it? Because I don't see it right now. My eyes are deceiving me. Maybe I need glasses right now.
Is it the one talking about his injury?
Yeah.
I will grab that one. The one that's down there on the bottom is him talking about Brandon Pajemski. Remember a month ago when they lost?
Yeah, I want to hear about Draymond real quick. I want to hear about Draymond's injury because he missed last night's game. First game of the season. And trust me, we got to bet with House of Prime Rib, and I'm counting down. I'm like, oh boy.
The bets are
I know. Look, we're going to have fun at House of Prime Rib. Aren't we bringing these two jokers too?
Of course.
We lumped ourselves on this, so you guys have to bring us too.
We're splitting the bill.
It's also easier to get a table when there's more people, right?
Yeah. 40, 60, probably, you guys 60, me 40.
No. That'll be our Christmas present.
Just two drinking minimum, okay? Or maximum.
They have good cocktails there?
What do you think?
The sound's on your board now, Bonte. So there you go.
Bottom right. All right. Draymond Green with Baron Davis, Draymond Green's show. And Draymond Green, Steve Kerr said he was doubtful. And I was looking at the news report. I was like, well, it's questionable. And we're going to switch to pivot in a second to Mike Florio, to what he had to say about Kyle Shetty, because that's going to open up another cannon. You know what? Draymond Green left calf soreness. And, missing the game. I'm like, maybe this is maintenance. Maybe this is low management. Well, Draymond Green on the Draymond Green show had to say this about his calf.
Over the last few games, I've been a bit beat up, but still feeling healthy enough to get out there on the floor and try to help my team. I started to get this calf tightness in my left calf. In 2022, leading up to me missing those 3 months, there was games of like, yo, my left glute's really tight, you know, and loosen up a little bit and then come right back. I'm just like, oh, that's a symptom because I've been playing games. And I didn't know what I was up against. So this time, some of the symptoms that I felt, I'm able to better navigate and knowing like, all right, you felt this, you may need to slow down. I'll be 100% honest, I'm a little afraid. But in saying that, I have confidence in our staff. I have confidence that I'm getting ahead of it right now because the smart thing to do is to catch it right now while I'm already getting these symptoms. And so that's kind of where I'm at with it.
You know, I think about athlete longevity a
MRI,
lot.
By the way, real quick, MRI today for Draymond Green.
I think about athlete longevity a lot. Like, remember back in the day, the conversation, who would you give the long-term contract to? Matt Cain or Tim Lincecum? Mm-hmm. And they both almost ended up fizzling out for a variety of reasons at the same time. It felt like the elbow for Cain and the hip and Velo and everything for Lincecum. And I'm looking at like Draymond and Clay and Stafford. Who's going to wear and tear? Who's going to age better? And we're talking about like Father Time's undefeated. Very few pull off the yeah. LeBron. I'm better in my late 30s than I was at any other point in my career because I'm more efficient and smarter and I pick and choose my spots
Tom
better.
Tom Brady.
Exactly. Most people fall apart.
Drew Brees fell apart.
Peyton Manning was replaced and then had to get the starting job back because the other guy that replaced him played worse than he did.
Aaron Rodgers this year.
Aaron Rodgers, terrible. Yeah. You said Drew Brees. I mean, all of them, like, they horrible. So, like, I'm looking at Draymond. It's like, yeah, thinking that a 35-year-old Draymond who's been banging against guys who are 60 pounds and 7-8 inches sometimes taller than him, like...
Hashtag pause. Is that why you laugh at Spadoni?
Oh. But, like, when you do that for a decade, yeah, it's going to catch up.
Yeah.
No, it just
right.
is.
You're right. And even with Steph, with all the movement skills, knee soreness, and they say that's something that's going to linger. Dr. Brian Feely joined us yesterday. Now, was he worried about Draymond? I don't even remember because this has been a whirlwind 24 hours after that game.
He said he'd be shocked if it wasn't at least a couple weeks.
The only thing I remember is him telling me that it was okay to work out for me.
Of course.
Which I did.
You know, I'm looking at the next 2 weeks. If Draymond's out the next 2 weeks, I'll just read off the games coming up through the end of the year. Houston on Thursday. They're 15-7.
God, for the cup.
Well, this one's not for the cup. This one's just to get a win.
Oh, yeah. Okay, the other one's for the cup.
And then you get back-to-back games against the Minnesota Timberwolves at home.
Julius Randle.
Nas Reed.
Minnesota! Just love Nas Reed so
Dante
much.
Dante DiVincenzo. Then you get
I would take Dante DiVincenzo back in a heartbeat. Continue.
Houston Rockets for the cup. Wednesday. Then, I don't have to work Monday, Tuesday. God, that's a good day.
The Rockets coming out to play.
And then you get the Memphis Grizzlies, December 19th. Now, we don't know who they're going to play after the cup games. We'll see about that. But Memphis, Minnesota, again, you got Minnesota 3 times in the next 5. It's unbelievable. Schedule makers. Indiana Pacers, Lakers on Christmas, Clippers in L.A. You've already lost 2 to them. Phoenix, Saturday, December 28th. And then you end the year with Cleveland. And oh, by the way, Philadelphia's playing better. So you host them January 2nd. Then you get Memphis January 4th. Then you got the Kings on the back-to-back January 5th. And then you get the Miami Heat and Heat Culture. So you get what I'm saying
here. Miami Heat and Heat Culture. They lose by a zillion the other day.
But they always win at Chase Center for some reason. They always seem to beat the Warriors. I don't know why. It's always a tough game against Miami. But Draymond Green missing 2 weeks, boy. Oh, man.
How many games over the next 2 weeks?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, 8 games. Could be 9. Could be 10.
Could be 10
if they go to Vegas.
That would be a total of 10.
They're 12-8 right now.
So
how bad do you want that NBA cup?
So he would have to. So he would have to play every other game the rest of the year to get to 72. So if he misses 2 weeks in the 9 games,
oh, that puts you in a good.
Oh boy, I'd be sitting pretty.
I'm having a hard time thinking he's not going to get beat up for the NBA cup. Like that's a do or die scenario. He's got to be ready for that. Well, I can't even say it without laughing.
Especially to one up his boy LeBron.
That's right. Like that's right.
Just to make sure that Clutch wins the first two of the Emirates Cups.
And by the way, dealing with Ime Udoka and Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks was getting into it with De'Aaron Fox yesterday. So you got to deal with that joker on Thursday and Wednesday. Damn. This is becoming a nightmare for me. This is why the sports guys? Why? I feel like you're looking at me. Not anybody else but me. All right. Maybe I'm losing it here. I am losing it. This is a great start. 12-3. They lost 5 in a row.
You know? I mean, like the Warriors, your best friend Draymond.
Yeah.
Your other like favorite player of all time, Brock Purdy, struggling right now. Your favorite coach, Kyle Shanahan, is under scrutiny. Like your White Sox might trade Luis Robert.
Well,
the Golden Giants might get introduced.
I told you the Giants need to go get Luis Robert. I told you that last year. You go get Robert. Go get him. Go save him from the White Sox.
Your other team, the Yankees, might lose Soto. Like this is a tough week for you.
My Yankees, my Orioles got bounced early. You know, my Pittsburgh Steelers are playing well, though.
You're like Snoop. You've got so many teams I can't keep up.
I've always liked the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Russell Wilson, I'm telling you, you'd rather have Russell Wilson than Aaron Rodgers right now as we had that conversation about aging out. All right.
For the Niners.
We're going to play the Florio sound in just a second, but let's pregame Paulo. Brian and Paulo Alto. I'm just going to turn my mic off. I'm going to let Brian cook.
What's up,
Brian, the floor is yours.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Still two timelines, Shasky, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's pretty dirty, in my opinion, what Lacob's done to Steph. No other, like, all-time top five greatest player ever has an ownership group this uncommitted to helping him, and he has no help, and Pods and JK are not guys that you just cannot count on them. And obviously I'm surprised Pods has taken such a big step back in year two, but Eric Paschal had a pretty good rookie year too. So It's unfortunate. The Melton injury is unfortunate, but they can't keep, doing the boy who cried wolf around. The 49ers are interested in such and such player. They're going to have to go do a deal, make a deal, or they're going to have to choose a timeline. If the timeline is we choose Pods and JK, okay, put your money where your mouth is, ship everybody else out, and let it ride on Pods. But guess what? No one's buying it at this point. Do you see his nickname on Twitter is Jack Harlow? I don't know if you saw that, but interesting. But not good. That's my take.
Hey, BPA, honest to gosh, would you take a reunion with Jordan Poole back? Because I would in a heartbeat.
Oh, God. But, if we had Chris Paul's salary slot, which we let expire into nothing, help him out, Joe. Help staff, Joe. All right, have a good day, guys.
Love you, buddy.
TC, Sacramento.
Monte, Shasky, what's up, bro?
So, my bro.
What's up, dog?
Oh, no. Hey, listen, I'm going to keep it light. I'm just going to keep it simple, Joe. Look, hey, what they say, what happens in dark always come to light about that dude, man. I've been trying to tell
you. Talking about? You talking about Shanahan?
Who are you talking about?
You talking about Kyle Shanahan?
You know that. Fonte, you know that. Yeah. You know I'm talking about Shanahan.
Hey, what TC, real quick. Always real quick, man. I'm not going to lie. I was thinking about that moment when you called the other day. When we ran into you at training camp, you had the Trey Lance jersey out. We were so hyped. Well, that was such a great time. Sir. Remember that? You were so hyped. You looked so good in that Trey Lance jersey. No,
Boy, hey, you see how the tables turn? Look, check it out, man. Hey, look, that's all I got on that. Hey, you know I'm a Kings fan, right? But what I'm going to say, Joe, I'm going to answer what everybody ain't trying to answer y'all questions. I take Jordan Poole back in a heartbeat over Pods, and I'm not even a Warriors fan, bro. You get me? Y'all would be in a better position if y'all had Jordan. I know he was wild, but he was doing his thing with y'all, man. That's all I got.
Look, Right, look, it's not about trading pods for him, but my point is that they need a guy like Jordan Poole who can get his own shot in the half court, who could space the floor, who can ball handle a little. Like, yeah, the guy wasn't, you know, he was a turnover machine at times, but like as we're learning, having back-to-back seasons that are excellent is very difficult. That's what separates the, you know, promising to good, good to great players. Great players do it year after year after year.
You know, I'm looking
it's hard. Like, being a great player is very hard.
Any sport. It is. No, you're right.
And I'm not trying to, like, diminish. Like, these guys are all trying really, really, really hard. Like, I don't think that this isn't without effort.
No doubt. I'm looking at some of the jokes here about PPA, since he likes to crack jokes.
Yeah, what are the jokes? I would love to hear.
He's so freaking smug. Stop chuckling at your own jokes. They're the 6'5". You can tell BPA only uses mayo as seasoning.
I do like mayo, though, so I don't love seeing mayo like get slammed like that.
I like mayo, but
not by itself. Not by itself.
That I agree with. Yeah. But that's when you know you're poor. See, when you're really poor, like when I... Mayonnaise sandwiches, bro. We get it a lot. With a little bit of cheese, you know, like if you were lucky. And I'm talking American slices.
I did it a lot
when I was growing up, bro.
Same here. All right, Mike Florio's going to join us at 8:30. Father of Mine and Son of Mine, available on Amazon and downloaded his new Christmas book. This guy's coming out with books every 3 months. New Christmas book, On Our Way Home, also available on Amazon and for your Kindle. Damn. Maybe I should start writing a book right now.
We should write a book.
You want to collab on one?
I do.
We do like every, you know how they have those books where you do a chapter, then I do a chapter, you do a chapter, and I do a chapter.
Sam gets to do the epilogue?
No, he's not. He ain't getting no royalties off of this one.
Sorry, Draymond does the forward?
Oh, that would be great. We get Steph or Draymond to do the forward. We can actually get some big dogs.
This is what would end up happening is we would get about 2 weeks into the project and Bonte would remove me from the project and insert Chris Mullin.
No, or I would just remove you from the project and just take all the royalties for myself. Saying that, damn, I can make that much?
Probably.
If I can just do this to myself? Yeah, let me stiff arm Shashky over here. All right,
Mike Florio. My book would turn into a comic book.
Mike Lee probably would. A Star Wars book. A spinoff of Star Wars. Yeah. Anyway.
Skeleton 2 Crew's really good.
Give me the Florio on Rich Eisen, because he had a suggestion. Oh, I could just play it right here. He talked about Shanahan's time in San Francisco.
Okay.
And maybe it's coming to an end.
What?
It's been since 2017. They've kind of been annually banging their head against the door, trying to break it down. This year just feels kind of weird. It feels like it's coming to an end from the standpoint of the nucleus of players that they've had there. And you never know what's really going on behind the scenes. And I mentioned the 49ers in part because it was 10 years ago or so when they had Jim Harbaugh going into what was the fourth year of his tenure there. The first 3 years had all been very successful. NFC Championship, Super Bowl, and NFC Championship. And we reported at the time, and it was accurate, and it was confirmed by the Browns in a roundabout way, that the 49ers were close to trading Jim Harbaugh to the Cleveland Browns. So you never know at the top of the organization whether or not there's a sense that maybe it's time for a change.
No, he was responding to a question about from Rich Eisen about the Chicago Bears coaching situation, and Mike Florio was like, look, you could go get somebody to recycle guys, a hotshot offensive coordinator, a college coach, or what if we start making trades? And he brought up Shanahan maybe getting traded to Chicago. Now, he added this to that answer.
After the 49ers lost to the Chiefs, one of the first things I thought is, at some point I feel like Kyle Shanahan needs an Andy Reid reset, where I've exhausted every opportunity with the team that I started my coaching career with. It's time to go to a new place. And I know Reid got fired. He landed on his feet in Kansas City, and the rest is history. But I feel like at some point Shanahan needs that. So if I'm the Bears, remember the year that people laughed at Washington because they called every team to see if their starting quarterback was available in trade, including the Chiefs? Like, the phone call's free. Make the phone call and see if there's a chance.
Would anybody entertain that in Niderland? Trading Kyle Shanahan for picks.
Okay, so I would like to keep Shanahan. I would. That's just me. But let's just say, like, I'll play the game with you, okay? And again, we're playing the game here.
I ain't playing the game. I'm keeping Shanahan.
Let's say Kyle does, like, for whatever reason, you get an inkling that Kyle, you know, not that he's tired or doesn't want to be, but maybe he is looking for something different. Like, Kevin Durant was just looking for something different, right? Fine. Let's just say, hypothetically, you get the feeling that you think he's looking for something different. If you told me you could get the two first rounders and two second rounders that I guess that Gruden deal got, that the Raiders got. Like, let's say it is Chicago. They've got 40 and 42 right now, okay, because of the Panthers pick, and they have the 11th pick. I mean, you got Belichick out there. I mean, there's other coaches out there. I'm just saying, like, I would have a hard time not thinking long and hard about that if you knew that Shanahan was, you know, gave you some sort of indication that, you know, he's open to moving around. Like, but that being said, I still would want Shanahan because whoever would come in would have to make the right picks. They'd have to nail those. I mean, you could easily whiff those picks as the Niners have whiffed a million picks over the years. But like, it is interesting to think about. It is. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. That isn't, like, no, I love draft capital.
It is very, very interesting. But maybe Shanahan gets an up-close personal look at Caleb Williams. Like, oh, you want to trade me to Chicago with this team and this personnel and this money? As Kevin Warren, what is Kevin Warren?
He's their financial guy.
Yeah. He's a big shot.
But he's running their team.
And then we got Ryan Poles, the GM. Yeah. And they were saying, we have the most attractive job in all the NFL. They were confident in saying that on Monday morning. See, I watched that entire presser.
The way I view this is the same way as a divorce. If you are, in your mind, you've made it up that you're going to divorce someone in whatever walk of life, you can't worry about who they go and marry next.
I'm not ready to do this. I'm not ready to trade Shanahan.
I'm not either.
But it's interesting. It's interesting. All right. We're going to talk to Mike Florio coming up next, brought to you by Bay Area Fast Track.
Dub Nation is Buddy Hill. Listen to the Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
You better hit those breaks, Bonte.
I'm trying, buddy. I need you to hit a shot late in the game. I need you, buddy. I needed that three to go up 10 last night and snap the 5-game losing streak. Warriors bounce back. A little adversity. A little turbulent right now, but you know what? We're all built for this, right? Especially with the 49ers. We're built for adversity. Are we? Or are we not? Well, actually, we're not because after one turbulent season, well, it's been a few. Bye-bye, baby Chaz. You're on FaceTime.
Happy birthday.
Mike Florio is going to join us
happy
in a
birthday.
Moment. Shanahan took over an expansion team, basically. Built this baby up. 4 great years and 5 seasons. And obviously a step back this year. But also, we're ready to move off the coach? Are we really ready to move off of Kyle Shanahan? Like, honestly, Niner fans, you want to move off of Kyle Shanahan? Really? You know how many other teams would take this guy as a coach? They tell us all the time. Chicago's begging. Yeah, trade him to us. Please. Are we ready to do that? Now, there's some interesting ideas. And what the 49ers do this offseason is going to be very intriguing. Maybe the biggest offseason for John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan if they are around. So, we'll see. But let's bring in our good friend from Pro Football Talk. He's become a great friend of the program. After the way we started, we've come a long way, Mike Florio, as he joins us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? And I don't even know how the guy has the time to write these books. He's got Father of Mine. He's got Son of Mine available right now on Amazon. And now he's got a new Christmas book, On Our Way Home, also available on Amazon and for your Kindle. How the hell does he have time to do all this? Mike, good morning to you. And I know you have time to write books, but you also have time to join the Rich Eisen show. And you said something yesterday that Niner fans have really locked onto. And you were just wondering, would Chicago trade picks for the services of Kyle Shanahan? What made you come up with this concept, Mike? And good morning to you.
Good morning. And this is something that I'll mention from time to time during the hiring cycle or as it approaches. It's an option available to teams looking for coaches that doesn't get used as much as it could, as much as it should. It dates back to John Gruden in 2002 when he left the Raiders for the Buccaneers for a couple of first-round picks, $8 million in cash, and maybe more than that. I need to look that up and refresh my memory. There have been other situations like it. The 49ers almost traded Jim Harbaugh to the Browns more than 10 years ago as he was entering what was the last year of his time in San Francisco. So I view it as a logical break from the typical formula, which is find a coordinator who's never been a head coach and roll the dice on that person becoming a competent head coach. Find a college coach that you think can come to the NFL and get it done, or find a fired former NFL head coach who's out there like a Mike Vrabel. Option four is identify a situation where maybe there's an opportunity for someone to get a fresh start. And before that fresh start manifests itself in a mutual parting like Harbaugh and the 49ers eventually had, intervene, make a call. It's free to make a call and find out whether or not there's an opportunity there. And we don't know the truth. We don't know what's lurking behind the scenes. And we don't know how Jed York would respond if somebody were to call him up and say, what would you want for the ability to try to negotiate a contract with Kyle Shanahan for him to become our new head coach? And whether it's Shanahan, whether it's John Harbaugh, because there are times where it feels like the Ravens and Harbaugh could benefit from a fresh start, whether it's Mike McDaniel, because maybe the Dolphins regret giving him an extension. Whoever it is, I think the Bears need to be thinking about current proven head coaches who might love the opportunity to work with Caleb Williams. So that's how that all came up. It actually came up earlier in the day on The Score in Chicago, and it started with a draft we did on PFT Live, which is on Peacock every morning, 7 to 9 Eastern. Devin McCourty and I were coming up with candidates for the job, and that's when it hit me, hey, wait, whoa. There's a whole universe of candidates we're not paying attention to, and that's current head coaches.
Okay, hypothetically, I'm willing to, you know, do this exercise. Hypothetically, what would the compensation look like?
I don't know, because it hasn't happened in so long. There's no good comparison out there. The Gruden thing from 23 years ago was a massive haul for the Raiders for a guy that probably was only going to stay there one more year anyway. It's at least a first-round pick for Kyle Shanahan, at least. The question becomes, how much more than that? We'd have to look at, and I don't remember what the Broncos ultimately gave up when they acquired the rights for Sean Payton after he had resigned a year later with the New Orleans Saints. But we'd have to look at all of the past situations. But ultimately, it comes down to whatever someone's willing to pay and whatever it takes to get it done. At least a first rounder, like I said, maybe more. And the question then becomes, is it worth it for a team that is trying to get the absolute most out of its young quarterback? And one thing that I picked up while poking around a little bit about what the Bears plan to do, their top objective is getting the absolute most out of Caleb Williams, which points to an offensive head coach. Even though they're going to keep an open mind, you want to join Caleb Williams at the hip with a coach who's going to get the most out of him. So if you have to invest a first-round pick or more to make that happen, and you have to pay that guy good money, and coaches are underpaid relative to the best players. The best coaches are paid peanuts in comparison to the best players. Now, look, they're not going to go hungry. They're pretty expensive peanuts, but it's out of whack. And I think that if a team is truly willing to change, truly willing to turn the page, value and prioritize the coaching position, give up the draft picks to get an existing coach, and pay him what he's worth, that may be the key to unlock contending every year and maybe one or more championships.
All right, Mike, let me ask you the in reality now, because this is all hypothetical and it's a lot of it from the Chicago point of view. Do you get any sense with John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, Jed York, they obviously have the quarterback situation, which we'll get to in a second, when it comes to Purdy. Is there any sense that you get from around the league that there is some strained relationship or frustration from any of the three parties, ownership, GM, head coach with the Niners?
Well, they're going to keep that stuff under wraps. They're not going to wear it on their sleeves. We just have to look at past patterns, past situations, circumstances that have played out over the years, and we assume that human beings operate generally the same way in similar circumstances. And one of the most frustrating things for any team is to be banging on the door and not kick it in. And we've seen coaches get fired for getting close to the Super Bowl consistently. I remember when the Denver Broncos threw John Fox overboard a year after he took the team to the Super Bowl because they couldn't get to the top of the mountain. It can be grating on a team. It can be exhausting for everyone involved. And when you look at the 49ers right now, the franchise feels exhausted. Shanahan looks exhausted. We've had every year except 2020 deep into the playoffs. That's a physical, mental, and spiritual burden that you got to figure out how to deal with, and you got to reset. And you got to keep carrying that. And the way they play their games, that physicality the 49ers have used to be as great as they've been, that takes a toll. So now we feel like we're at a point where, for the nucleus of veterans, the sun is setting. There's going to be a future that no one really knows what it will hold. Can they go out and find a collection of players like the ones they've had? And is it just time for change? Would people benefit from a fresh start? I thought of this after the loss to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. At some point, Kyle Shanahan needs a fresh start somewhere else, like Andy Reid got one. And the team may welcome it, too. That's where it all comes from. Where are there coaches who might benefit from a fresh start and who might be working for teams that would be inclined to have a fresh start of their own? And again, there's nothing specific yet, but when you consider how quickly they fell out of love with Jim Harbaugh, and I know Jim Harbaugh's a handful, but his brother's a handful, too. And his brother's been the head coach of the Ravens since 2008. So there's just enough of a whiff of dysfunction at the top of the organization. It makes me wonder at what point Jed York decides, I need to make a change.
Mike Florio here on the River Islands Guest Line. Since you brought up Jed York, Tim Kawakami joined Willard, one of our afternoon show, Mark Willard and Dan Dibble, yesterday. He had this to say about how Jed York views Shanahan in his future.
I think he thinks he can't get a better coach. That's the way to look at it. You would obviously would have wanted him to see win Super Bowls at this point, but it hasn't happened. He's gotten to two. He's gotten to four NFC Championship games. You can't say, hey, he's done everything that Jed York would have ever wanted him to, and he's paying him a lot of money. But you can say that he's got them close to, and you can say that I don't know who would do a better job and who you can rely on putting together a structure the way Kyle Shanahan has. I don't think he's thinking about moving on from him. And in addition, if he loves John Lynch, which I think he does, if you fire Kyle Shanahan, you're probably going to lose John Lynch too.
So with that said, from Kawakami, who's as close to the team as anybody out here in this region, you mentioned Jed York and what happened with Harbaugh a decade ago. Now, do you believe that Jed York has matured as an owner and said, hey, I've learned from that mistake with Jim Harbaugh. I did hire two coaches after Jim Harbaugh, Chip Kelly and Jim Tomsula, and it didn't work out. Let me stick with Shanahan for a little bit longer. Do you get any sense that maybe Jed York would be feeling like he was at the end of Harbaugh? Because Harbaugh, you're right, not only did he wear on the 49ers, he wore on the Stanford Cardinal, who he coached down the road out here, Mike.
Yeah, until he went to Michigan, he was 4 years and out everywhere he went. But look, good coaches can be a pain in the butt. It's incumbent on the organization to realize we need to find a way to coexist with this person who is all about winning football games. Jim Harbaugh isn't a jerk gratuitously. Jim Harbaugh is driven with an unrelenting passion to win football games. And as you were playing that clip, I was thinking, wait a minute, Jed York's the same guy who thought Jim Tomsula was an upgrade over Jim Harbaugh. Are you kidding me? So has he learned from what happened 10 years ago? Maybe. We're not privy to what actually goes on, what the relationships are, what the dynamics are, what the deep feelings are for Kyle Shanahan. We don't know what he wants. So, again, at some point, I feel like you get to a decision that needs to be made one way or the other. And look at Mike Tomlin. I feel like Mike Tomlin was kind of there a little bit last year. It came to a head late in the season. Is he going to renew his vows with the Steelers, or is he going to move on? At some point, Kyle Shanahan is going to be there where he has to decide, I'm either riding this out or I need a fresh start. And if he feels like he needs a fresh start, there's a chance the team's thinking maybe they need one too.
Do you think Shanahan's overworking himself within this organization? Is that why he needs a fresh start, or maybe burnt out, or maybe not making the playoffs this year will give this organization and this coaching staff and front office a nice little reset to kind of like, okay, let's freshen up a little bit and let's evolve our passing game. Let's get a new defensive coordinator in here and let's play ball again. Do you think that he's just maybe overworking himself and maybe doing too much on his plate with the lack of assistant coaches that he has?
The job by its very nature is exhausting. And if you do it the right way, you exhaust yourself. You age like a president. Go back and look at the headshots from early in his career. It's been a rough ride. You put a lot of yourself into it. And
Also, Obama, too. You saw Obama by the end of his tenure
as
the president?
Yeah, everybody. Look at me.
I'm exhausted working with Joe Shasky right now. Mike Flores, it's only been 4 years.
If you're in a demanding job and you're not sleeping enough and you're not eating right and you're constantly carrying around stress, it's going to show itself. And I feel like you know, one of the things that makes Kyle Shanahan great is he puts in the time, he puts in the effort, he puts in the work, he puts in the heart and the soul and the elbow grease. And I think it would be a mistake for the 49ers to want to move on, but we've seen them make that mistake in the past. And you put all the ingredients in one pot and stir it up, and again, the Bears should just make the call. A couple of years ago, the year after Matthew Stafford was traded by the Lions to the Rams, kind of inside job, surreptitiously, and teams didn't generally know it was going to happen, the Commanders the next year called every team to see if their starting quarterback was available in trade, including the Chiefs. And the point was, hey, we're just turning over every possible rock. You can laugh at us if you want for calling the Chiefs about Patrick Mahomes, but we are not going to get caught unaware of a potential opportunity to get a quarterback this year. The Bears need to apply that same mindset.
Interesting.
Turn over every rock. Who's available? And you need to expand the lens beyond coordinators who had never coached before, fired head coaches who are looking for new jobs, and college coaches who might jump to the NFL. Every team, not just the Bears, but every team needs to be thinking, is there a current head coach out there that I could get? What would it cost by way of picks? What would it cost by way of cash? What would he want? Does he want to come here? And is it the right coach for us? I just think teams are selling themselves short by not making that a fourth category that is a viable category that gets used.
Yep.
And the fact that it rarely happens shows that it's not used nearly enough.
Yeah. Mike, I love the way you think. You think outside the box. And unlike Bonte throwing me under the bus, you look fantastic on Sunday Night Football all the time. You look very well rested.
Yeah, lighting and makeup. Lighting
well,
and makeup.
You're selling yourself short. I think you're doing
still a got a
job.
Great headset of hair, man.
Yeah,
I don't know
I'm
how
very
you keep
jealous.
That out, man.
But Mike, this Brock Purdy, like, where does that leave us with Brock Purdy? Because he hasn't played, he's been up and down. He's had some moments where he's played excellent, and there's been some games where it hasn't looked so hot. And really, since the Baltimore game, the statistics have kind of fallen off the map. I'm going back to last year. I've been hypothesizing, like, who are you really betting against? Who are you bidding against when you're going to pay Brock Purdy? I understand there's market, but, like, look around the league. Look at the quarterback situations, all right? And then look at the potential draft that's going to happen and teams that will find their potential future quarterback. They're really talking about, like, four or five teams that would be interested in Brock Purdy's services. So, like, where does that leave him in terms of value? Like, financial value. Why do they have to get a deal done immediately after this season ends, I guess is my question.
Well, I made the argument early in the offseason and really deep into the offseason until the deals happened with Jared Goff and Tua Tagovailoa. Who are the Lions and the Dolphins respectively bidding against when they're negotiating these deals with those two players? If those players are available, what are they going to get on the open market? Is someone going to give them a market-level deal? Why are you giving them a market-level deal to stay put? But teams feel compelled to do it. And the agents are very skilled. You know, the same agent, Athletes First, the same representation firm, had both Jordan Love and Tua Tagovailoa, and they played the Packers against the Dolphins back and forth, and they worked it to perfection, and they got market-level deals for both guys. But I've been waiting for years for a team to say, hey, just because you've been good enough doesn't mean that you're now entitled to become the next highest paid player in NFL history. That's not how it's going to work. We're going to have tiers. We're going to have layers. We're going to have levels. And the thing that the 49ers have in their favor, because Brock Purdy was the last player taken in the draft, if they swoop in with an offer next year after this season, it can be, and I don't want to get too far into the weeds and put people to sleep, especially if they're driving, but when you have a very low final year salary, it's easier to get to a high new money average per year that makes the agents happy and it looks good on paper and it looks like a better deal than it is, where in terms of hard dollars, it's a lot less that the player is getting. So there's a path to do that. But even then, what's the new money APY we're looking at? 60? 60? 55?
Yeah, I'm not doing that, Mike. Josh Allen is a $60 million a year quarterback, and we saw those guys head-to-head in the snow. I'm not doing that.
And he's not making 60. He's making 43.
43 this year. Yeah, no doubt.
He's woefully underpaid. And here's the other side of it, too. And this will be, I think, instructive on what Jed York really thinks long-term about Kyle Shanahan, because if there's any thought that, you know, we're playing wait-and-see with what Shanahan does over the next couple of years, that's a reason to not make a massive investment in Brock Purdy because you could have a new coach who could say, I don't really like Brock Purdy.
That's a great point.
Mike Florio here on the River Islands Guest Line. A couple more for you real quick. We appreciate the time as always. I know you're a busy guy. I want to get to your book in just a second, but first, Kirk Cousins. He threw four picks last week in Atlanta. And I thought during the Green Bay playoff game, I texted this thread, our show thread, and I said, boy, when Brock Purdy was struggling in that Green Bay game, I said, I think Kirk Cousins is back on the table for Kyle Shanahan. Now, Michael Penix Jr. is waiting in the wings, and I may have heard it on your show. I don't know where I heard it from, but they said Michael Penix Jr. looks amazing in practice. How long until he takes the job in Atlanta, and is Kirk Cousins rearing his ugly head again to where maybe he links up with Kyle Shanahan once again?
Well, when Penix was drafted, Terry Fontenot, the Falcons GM, suggested that he'd sit for 4 or 5 years, which is ludicrous. That there's no way it's going to be 4 or 5 years. The absolute most he sits is 3. The question is it 2 or 1 at the end of the day? 2 makes more sense. 1 is possible when you consider that Kirk Cousins has 3 straight games with no touchdown passes and 6 interceptions. They've fallen apart. They're now, even with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, although they hold the head-to-head tiebreaker, there's 5 games left and they're both 6-6, and let's see who can pull it off. And Cousins is going to have to turn it around. He goes back to Minnesota this weekend, sight of the last time he played in Minnesota, arguably the best game of his career against the 49ers on a Monday night. He tore his Achilles 6 days later, and that was that for Cousins in Minnesota. But I think he's going to be in play next year. He's got a no-trade clause, and people say, oh, he can't be traded. He's got a no-trade clause. Well, he can waive it. And if the choices are be the second-string quarterback in Atlanta or go somewhere else and play, he's probably going to go somewhere else and play. So I think he very possibly will be in play. It's going to be determined by the next 5 weeks and what, if anything, happens in the playoffs for the Falcons. But if they don't make the playoffs, then, yeah, we could see the page turn from Kirk Cousins to Michael Penix Jr. The real question I have is there some point this season where they break glass in event of emergency and bench Cousins and put Penix in to try to salvage a potential playoff berth.
Kirk Cousins, Kyle Shanahan, maybe it's a match made in heaven. Who knows? Real quick, before we get you out of here, Mike, give us a rundown of the story. What is On Our Way Home about, which is available right now on Amazon?
You know, it's an idea that I carried around for about 10 or 15 years before I sat down 3 Christmases ago and started typing it during the holiday season. I posted it as kind of like an advent calendar, one chapter at a time on the website 2 years ago. Last year, I made it available for the first time. This year, we're dusting it off with all proceeds going to a couple of different charities, the Michael Phelps Foundation in honor of my friend Jay Glazer and Enfield Public Schools in honor of Peter King. He's trying to help them raise money for their middle school sports activities. They desperately need help, and he's done a great job raising money there. The book is a Christmas story that lands at the intersection of A Christmas Carol and It's a Wonderful Life. And it has themes of redemption, reconciliation, forgiving yourself if it's too late to reconcile with a family member who's no longer around. And I didn't intend any of that. It's just I'd like to tell a good story. And it all sprang from the kernel of an idea that I had 10 or 15 years ago. And I don't want to tell you what the idea is because it's kind of a spoiler if I tell you what it's about. I think if folks are smart and if they're perceptive, they'll kind of figure out early on where it's going. But it's you know, it's a page turner and it's got some twists and turns and surprises. And it's only $2.99 for the ebook, which is almost giving it away. And it's $9.99 for the print edition. Very cheap and affordable Christmas gift that you can just check people off your list, $9.99 at a time. Good luck finding anything tangible that you can wrap and give to someone for $9.99. The wrapping paper costs $9.99.
True.
Yeah, Mike, you're doing God's work out here, man. Mike Florio, man. You're a money making machine, man. You're a cash register. It's just a matter of time before you start charging us to talk to you.
I should be charging more.
You need a co-host, a little help, Mike? Maybe I'll leave Bonte.
I'm stupid enough to fire Jim Harbaugh and hire Jim Tom Sula. That's how stupid I am.
Hey, I actually wrote a story at an old radio station. Said, hiring Jim Tom Sula is not the worst thing in the world.
Narrator. Chip Kelly is.
Oh, yeah. Well, there it is. There it is. Mike, man. Always.
See you, buddy.
See you
we
later,
We will
buddy.
Not be seeing you at the Super Bowl this year.
No, we will not be seeing you at the Super Bowl.
Just let you know. So sorry.
We won't be seeing you on Perfect Street.
I love that man.
You love him now?
I do.
No, we come a long way with him.
you know?
We've come a long way.
Part of the growth as a human being as I've gotten into my 40s is that I've realized that, you know, sometimes you're so alike with someone, you have to just give in and be there for
them. I said what I said.
Exactly.
Well, remember that whole bit? We went at it the first time we ever went. Kate Scott was, I guess, I didn't find this out until 2 years later that they had a little secret text thread with each other. Kate's like, Bonte's going to ruin all our guests for us. He's running these guests off. No, we became best friends.
Yeah.
We're great. Even after you said, Mike, what did you say? Is that the longest answer?
I don't remember that.
Yeah. By the way, I want to shout out to Coach Yak. Coach Yak, look, our Twitter numbers does not hit when we tweet quotes about our shows or content, but Coach Yak gets it, and he quotes us, or he gives us, I guess, he at Morning Roast, and he does numbers. So shout out to Coach Yak for always listening to the show.
What did he quote tweet?
Mike Florio just talked about the Bears trading for Kyle Shanahan. Well, that's an old one, actually. That's an old one. Oh, here's a minute ago. Mike Florio. I keep seeing people talk about Brock Purdy possibly making blah, 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 blah. So he quote tweeted that one. Oh, but nice. No credit there. So,
well,
anyway.
Look, just hear me out. I will get back into the Warriors here.
Well, we got a couple calls on the Niners because I think the Niners fans got something to say.
Well, on the real, like, this is the way I view things. And again, sports is different, but there are parallels to real life. Okay. When you go buy a house in St. Francis Woods, okay, and it's 4,000 or 5,000 square feet and it's got an indoor pool or whatever, I don't even know if there is a home like that.
About
right?
$4 million.
Yeah, it's going to cost you a pretty penny. When, you know, you move out to, let's just say, Stockton, okay? And I'm just using that as an example.
Stockton, 15 minutes away from Lathrop, River Islands.
Okay. All right, well, then let's say Merced. Okay, you move Islands. Out to Merced off of 99, okay? The home prices aren't going to be exactly the same. And so just because a new house goes up for sale doesn't mean that it immediately becomes market value. We do comps and we ask, like, all right, who are you as good as? How big are you? You know, do I need to redo the roof? Like, we start comparing and contrasting. And what was the market one day doesn't necessarily mean it's the market today. You see this with condos mm-hmm. all the time. Brand new condo goes up, and these old condos that just sold for $1 million get slashed in price because something bigger and better is around the corner. So I view the quarterback market kind of similarly, and it's like,